Oh, my band band sitting on the floor arouses lots of giggles and some astonishment from art collectors. Actually, that hung in the Rice Museum for 44 years, and so we have a record of its having not been cleaned for 70, and after about 50 years, varnish gets discolored.
Howard Amundson, a private art collector and banker who is one of the driving forces behind the new Los Angeles County Museum of Art on Wilshire Boulevard. Newsday presents KNX Kaleidoscope, the changing, colorful pattern of the news, a nightly half hour devoted to the Southland seen in depth. The pulse beat of Southern California, Fred Anderson reporting. The new Los Angeles County Museum of Art had its first official gathering last night. White tie affair for the people who made it possible, those who contributed $25,000 and more to the $11.5 million raised to build the building. Tonight we'll hear about the new Museum of Art, and we'll also hear from one of the men who helped make it possible, Howard Amundson, and why he has that Rembrandt on the floor of his Hudson Avenue home. We'll begin in a moment.
This morning, did you start out with a smile? Or a sneeze. A sneeze? Could be something in the air. Hay fever pollen. Non-stop sneezing. Unending tears. Continuous sniffles. Hay fever is an around-the-clock problem. But now you can fight back around the clock. Just take a contact capsule each morning. And another at night. Over 600 tiny time pills in each contact capsule soothe the itch and burn from your eyes. Dry your tears. Dry your sniffles. Take away that about-to-sneeze feeling for up to 12 hours. So start your hay fever day with contact and a smile. And have a nice day. Contact, today's largest-selling hay fever and cold medication at your pharmacy.
The new Los Angeles County Museum of Art is the largest art museum ever to be built in America in the last quarter of a century and the largest ever to be built west of the Mississippi. Dr. Rick Brown is the director of the new museum, which occupies a five-acre site at the intersection of Wilshire Boulevard and Ogden Drive in the southwest corner of Hancock Park, better known as the La Brea Tar Pits. This city, says Dr. Brown, has needed a building devoted to art for some time. And the history of the new building has to go back to almost the beginning of this century. In 1913, we opened a combined Museum of History, Science, and Art, says Dr. Brown.
A great segment of the community here realized that that kind of a combined museum was a not very workable thing in the 20th century. It was a belated example of what the Germans used to call a Wunderkammer, where they had everything from an old unicorn's horn and a whale's skeleton to paintings and oddities and curios and works of fine art. With the progress toward greater specialization and specific interests in civilization, that whole idea went out of existence probably as early as the middle of the 18th century. So Los Angeles was sort of an anachronism in that regard. And during the 50 years or so since the founding of the old museum, there was a great segment of the community that wanted to create an independent, proper fine arts museum in a different place. And actually, from the functional point of view, it was the only answer.
Well, they tried, and there were many attempts that got off to a good start, but soon fell by the wayside. When Dr. Brown arrived in town a little over 10 years ago, he had a feeling that the time was ripe to move, and that there were enough people interested to support such a project financially. He decided to try.
So I said, well, I'll try like mad for 4 years and see if it does get started. And exactly 4 years after I came, a gentleman that I'd convinced, Mr. Norton Simon, walked into the board meeting one day, and he offered $1 million if the rest of the board would take up the same cause and do something about it in a concrete way. That was 1957. In 1958, we conducted a survey with the help of a fundraising corporation, the G.A. Brakely Corporation, simply to ascertain whether a fundraising campaign on a large scale would be feasible. And the answer came up very definitely yes. So at the end of 1958, I think it was December 12th, as a matter of fact, we kicked off the fund campaign with the announcement of Howard Amundson's magnificent gift of $2 million. And shortly thereafter, our fundraising leadership under Edward Carter, who is the president of my board of trustees, went to work on the thing in a very concentrated way, and he had as his principal assistants Mr. Sidney Brody, who's on our board also and a very fine collector of art, and Mrs. Freeman Gates from Pasadena, and they did a terrific job.
In just a moment, we'll hear about the amount of money involved in this new museum.
Have you heard? Got the word? Your Plymouth dealer is a dealing man.
Here's Harlan Duden to tell about the deal he got when he bought his new Plymouth Fury.
I received approximately $1,050 on my 1961 Ford Falcon wagon. We had an idea of what the trade-in would be, but we didn't think it would be anything like this.
Have you heard? Got the word? Your Plymouth dealer is a dealing man.
Harvey Wetzel heard the word and got the deal he wanted.
I bought a Plymouth, bought a Barracuda, Plymouth Barracuda, and I think I got a real good deal.
If you haven't heard, now's the time to get the word. Your nearby Plymouth dealer is a dealin' man.
Yeah!
See your Southern California Plymouth dealer. He's a dealin' man. Fred Anderson back again with KNX Kaleidoscope. The contagion took hold. Others get into the act, including hundreds of private citizens and corporations, many from outside the state. There are hundreds of people who have contributed more than $25,000 apiece, and over a seven-year period, the total amount runs almost to $12 million. But that is the cost of the building alone. In addition, you can total up the land donated by the County of Los Angeles, which runs $8 or $9 million if it were to be placed in the market, making there a total of $18 million or thereabouts. Dr. Brown says,
if you start to put this thing on a capitalization sheet, already you're up to about $20 million. And then if you take into account that we own something like $22 million worth of art, which has been mostly donated, some bought, most of it from private sources, though, again, you've got a well over a $40 million capitalization. And now, the next phase of the project, now that we have the facility, which is beautiful and functional, the next phase of the whole operation is to upgrade and increase the extensiveness and the quality of the art that we have on the walls. And we're aiming at perhaps another $12 million to effect that. And as we raise it, we'll spend it for the best art that we know we need because of the gaps we have in the collection.
Henry Hopkins, Chief of Educational Services for the museum, says there are many programs planned already for the new spot. The first concert being given by the museum will occur on the 14th of April, featuring the work of two men who have spent a great deal of time in Los Angeles, Schoenberg and Stravinsky. Stravinsky himself has lent his support to the concert. The concerts will take place in an intimate 602-seat auditorium built on the Continental Plan, similar to the Music Center. There will also be five children's theater productions during the next season. Henry Hopkins describes the physical layout of the new museum.
Four floors in the Amundsen Gallery, which is the gallery that houses the permanent collections, starting at the first level, all of the ancient through medieval art is displayed. On the second, or what we call the plaza level, all of the art of the Renaissance and Baroque eras are displayed. On the third level, 19th and 20th century painting and sculpture. And then on the top level of that building, the decorative arts, costumes and textiles, and prints and drawings, so that the building unfolds in chronological sequence as you move from the bottom to the top. And then next to that, the Litton Gallery, which is probably the greatest innovation, or has the greatest innovations in it of all three of the buildings, in that it was conceived as a changing exhibition gallery. And by that I mean that we have our permanent collections, but along with our permanent collections, we have a series of exhibitions throughout the year, either major one-man shows or group shows, trying to show what is currently going on in art, historical expositions like the Masterworks of Mexican Art, for example. The opening exhibition, as you know, for the new museum is the Pierre Bonnard exhibition put together by our chief curator of art, James Elliott. And the remarkable feature of the Litton Gallery is that it must have the flexibility to handle all kinds of exhibitions, large and small, sculpture and painting, constructions, whatever else it might be, so that all of the walls in that area are movable. They're conceived in a way so they can be repainted for every exhibition without harming the surface. They're also constructed of horizontal grain redwood so that the paintings can be attached to the walls with screw eyes and with nails rather than hanging wire, so it gives us much greater speed in installing. And on the third level of that building, toward the center, there's a really very beautiful small area for sculpture, temporary sculpture with actually now citrus trees and outside garden furniture. So you can sit there and relax and smoke if you feel so inclined and look out over the Beverly Hills.
In just a moment, you'll meet the man who designed the interior of the new art museum and what he tried to achieve in doing so.
The difference is in the taste.
Darling, what's in the box? A present for me?
Uh-huh. Begins with M.
Mink.
No, darling. Manischewitz. Manischewitz wine.
Not a mink.
No, dearest. Manischewitz Concord grape wine.
Just a little stole, perhaps?
Concord grape wine, made with the finest New York State Concord grapes, so that every sip of the wine will be full of that same special Concord grape flavor that makes grape jelly the all-American favorite.
Or a collar. Teeny mink collar.
And bottle under the famous Manischewitz label, your natural flavor sign.
Boy, you'd think just once when a Manischewitz's top salesman could bring his wife home a measly little mink.
The grapes in Manischewitz taste like grapes right off the vine. Imported sun-drenched berries make the berry wines divine. That's why this famous label is your natural flavor sign. Manischewitz, man, oh, Manischewitz, what a wine.
Specially sweetened, a proud product of Manischewitz Wine Company, New York.
Fred Anderson back again with KNX Kaleidoscope. The new County Museum of Art was designed by the William L. Pereira and Associates architectural firm, and if I may depart for a harmless editorial comment, I think it's one of the most interesting and beautiful buildings I have seen in a long time. Charles Kratka, Director of Interior Design for Pereira, was in charge of designing the inside of the museum. He explains the philosophy behind the decor.
What we tried to do was take what we considered and what the authorities consider as the classics of the 20th century in furniture design, so that all the furniture that you see within the museum, in the boardroom, in the members' lounge, and in the various offices, these were by the great designers of our century. And I think this is probably the most significant thing that we've done, and I don't know of any other building or museum that has tried to do this, although I think many of them have used lots of this kind of furniture.
I noticed there was an attempt to soften the museum away from the traditional mausoleum type of museum that we're used to seeing. For instance, you've got wall-to-wall carpets throughout the museum.
Oh, right. That was another thing that we worked with Dr. Brown, and the idea of carpeting the galleries is something that's a little unique. We have learned from experience in other buildings that not only does it give it a wonderful warm quality, it also is pretty practical as far as maintenance. And this was one of the reasons. The materials you see on the walls, like in the floor in the Amundsen building, where all the period paintings, the Renaissance, Flemish, Spanish paintings, all the walls are in linen velvet, which, although we've done in kind of a contemporary way, does reflect some of the tradition. And then as you get on up into the 19th and 20th century paintings, we used a very simple material. And then in other areas, we've used linens and cottons and so on to try to, again, make everything a very simple but related background to what is being exhibited.
William Pereira assigned architect George Carey as project architect for the museum. To design such a building, Kerry told me, it just doesn't happen overnight. It takes a long road of hard planning before the contractors are selected. In this case, the plans were on the drawing board 2.5 years before the bids were let out. Some of the design of the building can be attributed to the Hancock Park site itself. Kerry says the La Brea tar pits didn't present the most desirable base for a foundation.
Well, the problem that presented was tar and water, on which we had to, in a sense, float the museum buildings. This was very well planned and done with through the offices of the soils engineer, L.T. Evans, and the structural engineer, S.B. Barnes and Associates, who were, did a very thorough job of analyzing the conditions there.
Is the building actually floating on the tar then?
Yes, it is. The building is floating on a concrete raft, or concrete, full slab of concrete, the full extent of the buildings. There is no, there's not spread footings, so-called, or piles. It's on a floating slab of concrete.
The story, in just a moment, about the $2.25 million Rembrandt bought in England the other day by Norton Simon.
It was quiet on the banks of the big Daytona Speedway.
This was the beginning of Mercury Comet's championship heritage.
100,000 miles at 100 miles an hour on the banks of the rugged Big T.
Last year, a team of specially equipped comets went 100,000 miles to the world championship at Daytona. But one of those comets never stopped. Back and forth, it kept going across America. Meanwhile, a great new lineup of comets was introduced for 65, and a team of regular production comets roared from Cape Horn to Fairbanks, Alaska. And comet sales soared to new records. All this time, that one Daytona comet kept piling up the mileage. 230,000 miles, more than the distance to the moon. This month, they're celebrating Comet's fifth birthday with big championship deals. A great chance for you to land a hot and sassy 65 Comet. Now at the home of champions, your Mercury Comet dealers.
209 to Tower, coming in. Set him up with Schlitz.
Sorry, fresh out. How about another brand?
Negative. Proceeding to Alderton Airport. When you're out of Schlitz, you're out of beer.
Fred Anderson back again with KNX Kaleidoscope. The other day, headlines around the world carried the sensational story of a Los Angeles man's purchase of a Rembrandt in England for $2.25 million, a Rembrandt that originally sold for about 14 cents. The man is art patron Norton Simon. Dr. Rick Brown, director of the Los Angeles County Museum of Art, expects to have the Rembrandt hanging in our county museum, but he's not sure how soon.
I talked with Mr. Simon after the London auction late that night. He called me. It was about 1 o'clock our time here, so it must have been just about dawn his time, and he was very excited. But there are some problems. Well, they may not be problems, but there are things that have to be ironed out. For example, if Parliament or the National Gallery in London or a big benefactor in England wants to put up the same amount of money that Mr. Simon paid at the auction, that will keep the picture in the United Kingdom. That's part of the stipulations in the art export laws of the United Kingdom. And I think that may hold it up. I know Mr. Simon told me after the sale on the telephone that he was trying to remain anonymous, and that's why the confusion occurred at the end of the sale.
Why is that? Why do they try to remain anonymous in such a thing?
Well, he had a very practical reason, which relates to the thing that I was just talking about, which are the United Kingdom's export laws on works of art. If it could have been simply announced at the end of the sale that it was purchased by an anonymous buyer, there wouldn't have been as much public fuss about it. Everybody would have been staggered by the sum that was paid, but that would be the end of it. But when it announces in the paper immediately the following morning that $2.25 million Rembrandt sold to American, this immediately puts every Britisher on his nerves, edge, and mettle, and it may be more difficult to easily get the export license within a matter of days or a couple of weeks. If they wanted to, and if there were any possibility of retaining the picture until the the extent of the law runs out, they could hold it there for 3 months. I don't think that will happen. Otherwise, there probably would have been somebody there outbidding Mr. Simon.
Did he go there using his own resources and such to expressly buy this Rembrandt for the museum?
Yes, I spent the morning with him of the day that he left for London, and yes, he took the trip simply to buy that Rembrandt, period. And he was there all of, I guess it was less than a total day. He got there in the morning, I think, and stayed that day, and the sale was over. He flew back to New York. And, well, mission was accomplished. The resources that he used to purchase the Rembrandt actually are not his private resources. They are from his foundation. It's the Simon Foundation. And I like things to be bought by the foundation, although I get great joy out of working with him and Mrs. Simon to create their private collection for their house. But it gladdens my heart even more when they buy something with the foundation money, because they can't put that in the house, and what's the next logical place for it to go? It's over here.
County Art Museum Director Dr. Rick Brown. Howard Amundson says he's delighted beyond words with the new museum that now stands on Wilshire Boulevard. Amundson is modest about his contributions, $2 million to the county museum, but there are many other places throughout this county that have received his contributions. Check of those close to the cultural scene shows an agreement that he has probably contributed more to art and music than any other man in the West. He spent years collecting art treasures. His home on South Hudson Avenue in Los Angeles is a museum of masters. I asked for his thoughts on art and why.
Well, I suppose it's that same old story, man cannot live by bread alone. I think at this time and in this place, everyone in America is so terribly prosperous compared to everyone else that finally we have the time, the inclination, and above all, the leisure to enjoy for art in any form, or music, or culture, or zoos, or children's museums of science and industry, and I think these are all just as important a part of life as eating and breathing and sleeping and making a living.
Have you ever tried your hand at painting yourself?
No, I have been associating with artists so long that I have a complex about that, and I don't believe I could even draw a very good tic-tac-toe design.
In just a moment, we'll hear what really impresses Howard Amundson about the new museum.
You could win. Win big in the Flying A $250,000 Big League Sweepstakes. Grand prize, $10,000 in cash now. Plus, expense-paid trips to all 1965 World Series games for you and five friends as guests of Jerry Coleman, former Yankee great. Over 3,900 other prizes, too, including Ford Mustang convertibles, RCA television sets, Waltham wristwatches, portable transistor radios, complete sets of Baseball Hall of Fame statuettes. There's a new Flying A drawing every week for 6 weeks. Stop at your Flying A service station, fill out an entry blank. Nothing else to do or buy. You could win $10,000 cash and one of 3,900 other prizes. Enter the big Flying A $250,000 Big League Sweepstakes. See your Flying A dealer for full details today. You could win big with Flying A.
While art patron Howard Amundson is fully delighted by the physical properties of the new museum, he says he's impressed even more by the response the new museum has received from outside the city.
The response of art collectors from all over the United States that wish to hang their paintings in it has been far beyond anything we could have dreamed of 5 years ago. So it's not only a beautiful building, but I think it has one of the second or third or fourth best collections of paintings available for viewing in the United States.
When an art collector hangs his paintings in a county museum such as ours, does he donate them outright, or are they on loan for a while? What is the procedure there?
There's almost as many procedures as there are paintings. In the Los Angeles County Art Gallery owned a great number of paintings, and that is in a private charitable organization. They don't actually belong to the county. And they have for many years been accumulating them. There are many great paintings there that are on loan for the life of the citizen, and then there will be gifts. There are many more that have been loaned for just an arbitrary period of time. So you can't generalize and say that any painting has any particular classification.
There were a number of years when culture was more or less at a standstill in Southern California. Nothing much was happening. But in the past few years, Howard Amundson says he's noticed an increase in interest. And while you see many of the same names that have contributed over the years repeating themselves, the new tempo of activity has inspired many who have never shown an interest in art to become involved. Amundson says the spirit is contagious.
Well, I think one of the most exciting adventures in the whole world is to live in Los Angeles at this time. It's the art we're very proud of. The opening last night, but this is only a part of our local scene. We all know about the Music Center. Certainly that's the loveliest thing of its kind in all the world, I believe. The two additional buildings are going to be started within days. Simultaneous with that, we have something for everyone. The Museum of Science and Industry in Exposition Park has gone from absolutely nothing to the second best museum of its kind in the world. This, again, has been supported by industry, and there are 2 million children who will see that next week. We have field houses we didn't have before. We're having a convention center we didn't have before. I don't believe I've ever seen anything grow up so fast or mature so quickly as Los Angeles has done in the last 10 years.
In a moment, the story behind that Rembrandt on the floor.
Easiest way there is to San Francisco.
I like San Francisco. What's the way?
Western Airlines fanjet commuters.
That's the way. Why is it easy?
Western service starts right at the curb. Luggage goes straight to the plane. You don't lift a finger.
What do I do?
Take your ticket and take your seat. Western's new speed ticketing is that fast, that easy. Pay cash or charge.
I'm practically there.
San Francisco or Oakland. On Western's fanjet commuter. The jet with the extra engine. $13.50 plus tax. Starting April 1st.
The Amundson home on South Hudson Avenue is a multi-million dollar art museum. Amundson jokes about living in a mausoleum. The ceiling contains intricate tiny spotlights that highlight each picture with the precise amount of light. The complicated machinery for the lighting is woven throughout the ceiling, and whenever something goes wrong, all the bedroom furniture has to be moved out of the way so the lights can be reached and maintained. Most visitors, myself included, are rather startled to see a Rembrandt lying on the floor.
Well, my Rembrandt sitting on the floor arouses lots of giggles and some astonishment from art collectors. Actually, that's hung in the Rice Museum for 44 years, and so we have a record of its having not been cleaned for 70, and after about 50 years, varnish gets discolored, and so it's on its way to Europe to be cleaned. I don't usually keep it on the floor.
You do have Rembrandts hanging on the wall, though, yet, too.
Well, paintings are like children, I suppose. You always get the most excited about the one that you most recently acquired.
Mm-hmm.
The Rembrandt you saw on the wall is The Philosopher by Rembrandt, and so, of course, that's my favorite because mm-hmm. it's my most recent acquisition.
Amundson also has many other rare paintings in his private collection, but he is also one of the men chiefly responsible for that new art museum being on Wilshire Boulevard. That's it, KNX Kaleidoscope, for this 25th of March, 1965, the changing, colorful pattern of the news, the pulse beat of Southern California. This is Fred Anderson.